You know, folks, there's lots of times and when you're pastoring, Brother Harold could tell you this, and just wish that somebody else would come along and preach for you, wouldn't you, Brother Harold? It's tough. Well, me and Brian share, you know, every other Sunday, and so this Sunday, he fixed me up. He was dealing them out, and he said, "Here you go. Here's your." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute, dude." But yeah, luck of the draw. That's not even what that was. But this is a tough. It's a tough subject, folks. It is controlling the tongue, and we know that it is our tongue that gets us in trouble. It's a lot of times that our tongue is what keeps us in trouble. It does me. It has a lot in my life, and it continues to. It's not something that just comes and it passes, and you don't have any more problems once you say, "I'm going to be the pastor," or "I'm going to be the Sunday school teacher," or "I'm going to be, you know, small group leader." It doesn't go away. It's there all the time. It's always there to haunt you. Your tongue is a mighty, mighty weapon. And it's really a bigger weapon than you would ever think. And James is telling us this morning. You know, so many times we're always worried more about somebody doing something to us with a stick or a gun or a knife, but your tongue can hurt you a lot, hurt someone else a lot more than any of those things can. So this morning, as we take a look, I want to read. We'll just read the whole thing, and then I want to come back, and I want us to just kind of break it down just a little bit. James is talking this morning about, brothers and sisters, if you could control your tongue, if you could control what you're saying to others, and what your tongue is speaking, you could be perfect. You can't control it. You cannot control it. You're not perfect. Only God was perfect. Jesus was perfect. And so therefore, no matter how hard you try, you can try and try. It's never going to be a perfect thing. You can never control it enough. And so he says he starts out talking about the teachers or the preachers or just like I was talking about. And he's talking about, this is serious business. When you stand here where I'm standing this morning, and where Brian stands on Sunday morning, and where you teach, and where you, it's serious. But how many times, folks, do you think about during the week when you're teaching someone else? You say, "Well, I don't teach nobody else. I'm not there. I'm not doing that." Sure you are. You're teaching someone else. Someone's paying attention to you. Gabriel's paying attention to me. He wanted a hat. I don't know. He just likes hats. But I guarantee you, he's seen me wear a hat. You know what I mean? Somebody's paying attention to you. You are teaching somebody whether you think you are or not. And so it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." Golly, Bill. "Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is the small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison, and sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of our God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see this, and it starts out, it says very much that it is the teachers, the ones who choose to teach, the ones who choose to be the people that are telling others how they should live, you're the ones that's going to be judged the most. It's me, Mike. You're the ones that's going to be judged the most. I'll never forget when I was beginning to pastor a little bit, and I hadn't really got into it big time, and one of my buddies told me, he said, Wimberly. I said, yeah. He said, you realize what you're doing? I said, well, yes and no. And he said, man, it tells in the Bible that you're going to be judged a lot more harshly than you will be if you're not the preacher. I said, well, you might be judged more harshly if he tells you to be the preacher and you don't do it. I mean, you know, that's serious too. If he calling you to do something and you're not doing it, I mean, that's pretty serious business. So it made me stop and it made me think. I also thought about Paul. Paul in Romans 2, he was telling the Jews, it doesn't matter how much of the Bible, you can memorize this Bible front to back. I know people that can quote you scripture anytime, any place, anywhere in the Bible. You talk about it, he's got a scripture for you. I know these people. And it's good. It's good to know the Bible. It means you spent some time in the Bible. But what do you actually know when you know the Bible? Do you know your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you know how to control your tongue? I know people that know the Bible that don't know how to control their tongue. And so I know people that know the Bible that do not know how to control themselves. So Paul was saying, you think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God? This is Romans 2, the 20th verse. I think I'm going to be right here. And instruct children the ways of God, for you are certain that God's laws give you complete knowledge and truth. Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it's wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from the pagan temples? So you see what I'm saying, folks? It is so good to say, I know this scripture front and back. Mike, you can't tell me anything about this scripture that I don't know. I'll guarantee you, there's people in here that can tell me this, and believe you me, I know you're right. You can quote me scripture that I can never begin to quote. And that's wonderful. But folks, the truth is, without being able to control your tongue and control some things about your life, your moral standards, the way that you live your life, you can remember all the scripture you want to, and it's going to do no good. That's just what Paul got through saying. It's not going to do you a bit of good. And so as we look at what James is saying here, when you not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when I began to think about pastoring and began to think about the things that went with being a pastor, it scared me to death. It scares me to death today. Brother Roger Hobson, he was a black minister here in town, and he told me he was just nervous one Sunday. And he told me, he said, son, if you come to the throne of God in the throne of grace and you're not nervous, you need to quit and go home. And amen, I'll tell you, amen, because that is the gospel truth. And I know that when you become a teacher of any kind of a biblical teacher, you are held more in a more strict judgment than you are any other thing. But this whole scripture today, folks, is basically based on judgment. It's about you. It's about me. It's about how we talk about others. It's how we treat others. And it says that we can take a bit, a bridle and a bit. We all know that. Put it in an old horse and make him do whatever we want him to do. Nothing more true. You can put a rudder on a ship, a little rudder on a ship. Yay big. Make that ship do anything you want it to do. It is the small things that control the big things. Your small thing is your tongue, you think. The small thing is that we think we will take our tongue. It's not going to get me in trouble. My tongue is something that I control pretty well. I don't talk about anybody. I don't do any of that stuff. But it says that it is a small thing that makes grand speeches. Your tongue can make people think one thing of you when you're really something else. You know, we had the worst thing I've seen in probably all my life was the fact that California got on fire and it burnt all of that, all the things that it burned up. It burned everything from forest to mansions. It burned it all. And there was nothing, not one thing, folks, that anyone could do about it. They couldn't put it out. If they could have controlled it, they would have done it. They would have stopped and done it right on the spot. But they couldn't. They couldn't put it out. And the one thing, if I've ever learned one thing out of 69 and nearly 70 years, if I've ever learned one thing, I've learned this, that your tongue, when you speak in anger, is what you're really saying. You really mean what you say when you're in anger. When you're speaking in anger to someone, whether it be your wife or children or your neighbor or whoever, it doesn't matter who it is. If you don't even know the man, if you're speaking in anger to him, that's what you really are trying to tell him. That's what you really mean. Anybody disagree with that? I don't think you would. Because it is in our anger that we speak our truth. That's what I have found. It's like a fire. And once you light that fire, how hard is it going to be for you to put that fire out? Have you ever said something to someone that you give anything you could take back? Well, sure, we all have. Every one of us. It's not that somebody's thinking, well, I don't think I have. Yes, you have. I guarantee you, you have. I don't live in you, I live in me. And that way I know what you're doing, because I've done it a bunch of times. I've said a lot of things in my life, folks. I'd give anything this morning if I could back up and say, I wished I had never said that. I wished I'd never opened my mouth. But I did. But you know what? Jesus came to cover our sin, and we are forgiven. We are forgiven. He is the more. He has everything. He gives us more grace than we could ever understand. I think that's just what we was hearing a while ago. Folks, He is there for us. When our forest fire is being out of control from what we think or what we say, then we have to know that God has provided His Son Jesus to take that sin away from us. It is through Jesus that we do not have to pay that sin debt. So we see that James is saying here that that our tongue is a flame. It's the flame that sets the forest on fire. And it is wicked. Our tongue is wicked, corrupting our entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. And it is set on fire by hell itself. So you see what I was just talking about when you're mad and you hear the words from someone that's mad coming to you, or you're mad and you're speaking those words to him or her, it is straight from hell itself, because you're not in the realm of God. You're in the realm of the devil, and you're letting him control you 100%. Folks, I guarantee you, I would be hard-pressed to say there's a soul in this house this morning that knows any more about this than I do. And Tammy could tell you the very same thing. She could tell you the very same thing I'm telling you. I used to be terrible, terrible with a temper, terrible with words, terrible to speak to you in a way that you would not want to be spoken to. I was terrible. I could be the worst of the worst. And I know what I'm talking about. It comes strictly from the devil. It tells us that people can tame all the animals, the birds, the reptiles, and the fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. And sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who has been made in their image, in his image. Folks, you ever stop and think about that? You go to church, you on Sunday morning, you sing and you praise and God, and you're so happy in the Lord, and by Wednesday you've given somebody a cussing. I mean, you know, really, it happens. I know what I'm talking about. It happens. So, and then he is saying, brothers and sisters, this is not right. This is what he's saying. It's not what I'm saying. And I'm telling you about, like James, this is not right, folks. Not at all. When we know that we are trying to live a life for Christ, we're doing our very best to be a disciple of Christ. Like I said at the beginning, people are watching you, folks. You are exemplifying Christ in everything you do every day. You are living a life that is supposed to be showing a disciple of Christ. Is it going to be perfect? No. Was Peter perfect? No. What'd he do? When the girl was tending the gate and she said, wait a minute, aren't you one of the disciples of his? Oh, no, not me. Not me, you know. That's us. Oh, no, not me. I'm not a disciple of his. But yet, we know that when we make the statement that we're going to follow Christ, when we make that statement that our relationship with the Lord needs to be a different level than where it has been in the past, yes, we are making that statement that we are one of his disciples. Now, you can say, no, not me. No, I'm not in that group. But really and truly, you are. And Jesus knew Peter was. And Jesus asked Peter again, Peter, do you love me? What did he say? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. He asked him that three times. He said, tend his lambs. He said, feed my sheep and take care of my sheep. He wasn't talking about his sheep out there in the field, folks. He's talking about this world, the lambs, the people that do not know Jesus, the ones that's just been born, the ones that are here early in life. He's teaching. There's Gabe. He's paying attention. He's teaching. You're teaching each one of them, the kids, each one of the adults, the young. You could be 70, 80-year-old and just come to know Christ. You're a lamb. You're not a sheep. You're a lamb. Because you're so young in your faith, you don't know any different. And folks, this is what Jesus was trying to get across to Peter. You're going to have to feed my lambs. You're going to have to take care of my lambs, because the lambs are mentioned first, because that's the ones that makes the difference. If we don't nurture our lambs, if we don't take care of the ones that come to know Jesus and are in the babe stage, then what are we going to do? They're going to grow up and they're going to get lost again. They don't know any different because they've had no one to teach them. They've had no one to guide them, no one to direct them. They've not had a shepherd. And then he said, tend to my sheep. Tend to those that know you, that know me. tend to those that will be your church members. And let your church members tend to their own people, which is church member sitting next to you that you might or might not know. You see, folks, God is so... Your tongue causes you to be so restless. And so we sometimes say, yes, Lord, we do love you. And he says, okay, Mike, then you make sure you take care of my flock. The flock that I give to you and to Brian, I want you to make sure they're taken care of. If they're not taken care of, if you're putting yourself first before your flock, then you're not seeing after them. And I sometimes do. We will. We can't help it. We got families. We got things that going on in our own little world. And we sometimes do. But we have to maintain that we are and know that we are restless and evil people. Each one of us are restless. You ever think about yourself as not being restless? You ever think about yourself as just being satisfied to be a child of God, satisfied to serve him every day? I'm not restless. The world has nothing on me. I have nothing that I need to do, nothing that I need to be trying to do for the world or to the world that makes me anything. I'm not restless. Sure you are. You're restless continually. I'm restless. You know, Tammy said the other day when we went to see Sis, she said, as much as you drove that truck and as much as you've done all the driving that you've ever done in your life, you still like it. I do. I'm restless. I got to get up and go somewhere. I can't stay at home. I'm a restless kind of guy. And folks, we're restless. When we're restless and we can't stay home and we can't be satisfied, we're restless not only in our inner body, but we're restless in our spiritual body. Because why would we be restless in our spiritual body? There's so many things out here in this world to see. You see it whether you want to see it or not. It's there to be witnessed. And what do you do with it? It causes you to have evil thoughts. It causes you to speak evil about someone or something that you've seen. Because it's a world that we're not part of. And we speak about it when sometimes we need to be quiet. He says, your tongue is like deadly poison. It's like you've been bit by a snake. Folks, I'm scared to death of a snake. Now, any of y'all know me know if there's a snake in here, I'll be way over yonder somewhere. I don't care if it's green, black, brown. I don't care. I am not fooling with no snake. But our tongue, it tells us right here in the Bible, we're no different than the snake. It's like deadly poison. So folks, if our speech is like deadly poison, then just stop and think about what other people. How many people are you actually poisoning in what you say each and every day? I think about that sometimes and what I've said, and I think a lot of times I'd give anything if I hadn't said what I did. That was not proper. That was not the thing to say at that given moment. And yet we let that escape in some point. Blessings and cursing out of the same mouth. It happens. It happens. I would give anything if I could say this morning that I can cure that, folks. I can fix that where it would never happen again. But I can't. I can't fix it. Why? Because you're human. You're not perfect. Why? Because you have a tongue. Why? Because just as we live within Christ, that old devil, he lives beside us. And he'll keep poking and prodding you till you do or say something that you wished you hadn't. That's for sure. Me and Hired laugh and talk a lot about we live on a need-to-know basis. A lot of truth to that, you know. Lots of truth to that. Because if we know something, we might say something. If we don't know something, we won't say something. Folks, we all live the same life. I don't care who it is. We all live the same life. But we all live our life knowing that we are covered by the blood of Christ. James goes on to say, are we covered? Are we, when we go to the spring to draw fresh water, do you go expecting fresh water or do you go expecting bitter water? Folks, I don't know y'all's life. I don't know where y'all come from, but the grandest thing, one of the best blessings in my life is to go to a spring. Mr. Rose will know what I'm talking about. Go to a spring somewhere and drink that water coming out of that ground. Oh, my gosh. That's the sweetest thing. I don't even drink water. I don't drink water hardly at all. But when you go to a spring and can drink that water, that is like you're drinking straight out of the fountain of heaven. It is so much different than drinking the water that comes out of the tap or the water that's in this bottle. It is the sweetest thing in this whole free world. And that is the grace of God that He offers to each and every one of us. It's the sweetest thing, folks, that you'll ever drink. Are you going to be perfect? No. But I hope that you do your very best to control your tongue. I've learned as I got older, I can't control it. There's not going to be a full control of my tongue. But I have learned that if I take just a moment to think before I speak, it makes a lot of difference most of the time. Most of the time, it makes a whole lot of difference. I pray that you think about it. I pray that you drink from that spring. It's not bitter unless you desire for it to be bitter. It's not bitter unless you're living in the will of Satan. It's not bitter if you come expecting that water to be so fresh and so sweet. And it is. Jesus Christ is the sweetest name we know, and it is the sweetest thing that you'll ever encounter in your entire life. I hope we each and every one know that. I hope we each and every one realize each morning that I'm drinking from the spring that is not bitter anymore. It is as sweet as it's ever going to be. Folks, think about your neighbor. Think about yourself. And try to live as perfectly as you can. Every day you can. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.